No, we created a news board over here, and you'll never believe this, but there's more to talk about than we have time for. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski. And today we have the inventor of fantasy basketball, Rick Kamla. And welcome our viewers on YouTube and Twitter. If you're on Twitter and you head over to YouTube, you could get a question answered. But we're really trying to send you guys over to Discord, where our premium subscribers, they can get first crack at questions for us. But also, if you have questions as well, Discord's a great place to get acclimated with what we're doing over here at Sports Ethos and also get your question answered. Other than that, we have a big slate of games tonight to talk about. We're going to be talking about a ton of key storylines from over the weekend. But before we do all of that, let's quickly shout out our sponsors. Basketball fans, it's that time of year again. The NBA is back from opening tip-off to buzzer beaters. BetOnline has you covered with the best odds, biggest promos, and live in-game betting on all of your favorite teams. This season, every game matters. BetOnline has every stat, matchup, breakdown, and live odds to bet on during the game. And it's not just the NBA. BetOnline has odds from everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, to political props. Head to the website today to get in the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Rick, I'm feeling shortchanged, man. You and Doc on Wednesday nights, Sports Ethos After Dark, you guys are having some serious fun over there. I don't know what it is. Is it the late hour? Is it the fact that the games are on? I don't know. You guys,
you're welcome to join us, brother. We're an inclusive group. We're not an exclusive group, but I appreciate you saying that, Brew. You know, the chemistry with Doc and I is brotherhood. And so it goes back, shoot, a generation, 20 years or whatever it is. So we just clown around and look, you know, our guy's recovering from surgery, and Brew, his voice was awesome last week, like hung in there. It didn't get wispy because we, you know, played tennis. I mean, shoot, it was an 80-minute show, dude. Like, there was so much going on, so much to talk about. We just kept going and going and going. So, yeah, Wednesday night at midnight, make an appointment listening and viewing everybody, me and Doc.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, the free throw for James Harden had me just rolling. I was putting my kiddo down. So I'm sitting there, I got the earplugs in, and he didn't even really notice. I'm like, all right, cool. I think I got this figured out. And I'm putting him down, and you guys are killing me. And I'm like laughing, and I'm like, oh, that laugh might wake him up. No. Okay. They made me laugh again. It was great. You guys should definitely check it out.
Thank you.
And
thank
there's
you. He missed actually, the free throw, Brew. He missed the free
I know.
Throw.
It was great. He missed the free throw, and that was awesome.
And like Spike Lee and Reggie Miller.
Yeah, yep. He was choking. And here's the thing. I was asking myself, I was like, I don't think there's a better show on TV at that hour, right? I mean, you guys are really, you're in the action. You're breaking it down from a fantasy angle, of course, which we definitely love. But even just the reality, you know, the what's happening right now, you know, there's a lot of action going on. And I don't know that you can get that information anywhere else. So I really love what you guys are doing. And I definitely recommend folks check that out. Now, as far as news goes, we're going to kind of just pick at some of the bigger stories that are going on right now in the NBA and the fantasy NBA in general, and then we'll kind of work outward from there, and we're going to take your guys' questions. So again, get over to Discord. That link is in the show notes, and you guys can get your questions answered over there. But maybe let's start from the top and work our way down. You sent over a list, Rick, that I actually kind of want to get to first here. It's the top 15 rankings based on Yahoo and a standard 9 cat league. And I'm going to rattle off some names here for you guys. And some of this isn't going to be surprising at all. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at number one. I thought he had the stat year of the year so far to date with the 3 steals and the 3 blocks and the big numbers. I think it was like 11 of 12 from the foul line. Anthony Davis at 2. He's been killing it. Jokic at 3. I think he might have his best season of all time. Tatum jumps up at 4. Chet at 5. That was a loud 5, by the way. Jordan Poole checks in at number 6. Sabonis at 7. I know that laugh means a lot for a lot of people out there. Luka at 8. LaMelo, that might have deserved some exclamation points, at 9. Mobley, who I got on a lot of teams. I'm very happy about this. Mobley at 10. Jared Allen at 11. Hello, Jared Allen. CJ McCollum. Klay at 13, Cam Thomas, shout out Dr. A, at 14, and then Franz at 15. Okay, out of this list, what are the top line thoughts? And then kind of, I mean, I know some of these guys are definitely not going to be here for very long, but what struck you with this list coming out of week one?
A lot, and we got to start with Jordan Poole. Like, to me, Jordan Poole is 6th, okay? He's over Luka, he's over, I mean, shoot, you can go, you know, beyond this top 15. He's over LeBron. He's over Trae Young. Like, all these badasses, man. So the fact that Jordan Poole is number six is spellbinding. And Brew, honestly, the reason he's number six, he leads the NBA in steals at 3.5. He's third in the NBA in threes per game at five, okay, because he's only hitting 20 points and five assists and one rebound per game. That PRA line is not getting him here to number six. It's the fantasy gold. Is he going to average 3.5 steals a game? Of course not. We'd all be happy if he averaged 1.7 steals per game, which is half of that. Is he going to average 5 threes per game? No, but he could average 3.5. And so I think there's still room for growth here with the points. There's still room for growth here with the assists. We do know that a shutdown's probably coming in March or April. Okay, so keep that in mind. But, you know, this is where we're at right now. And where you got him was very, very deep in the draft. And he's now a mid-first-round value, which is crazy. So is he a sell-high guy? Yes, of course he's a sell-high guy. But you don't have to, like put signs, you know, a for sale sign out in your front yard. Okay. It's not like you have a loser on your hand here. Okay. Like slow play it, ride it out a little bit. Maybe he billows his value. I mean, I guess it would be hard to billow your value from number six, but like, if you could flip a Jordan Poole into like a Fred VanVleet or into like a top three drafted guard, go ahead and do it right now. But to me, Jordan Poole at number six is big news.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at here is that like the baseline expectation for Poole was something in the 70s, 80s, 90s in terms of a rank. And now what he's shown us and what Washington has shown us is they're willing to put the ball in his hands. And he has looked a lot more serious on the floor. And that has me thinking maybe he's tired of taking shots, you know, the shots in the media and the press and from the fans and being a bust. And maybe he's been humbled a little bit. Maybe that valuation is closer to, say, 60 or 70 or maybe even 50 if he can keep it going. And then, of course, the stuff at the end of the year is going to be a question. But who knows? Maybe they can lose with him. What else? How about LaMelo, your favorite, LaMelo Ball? Did he win you back over with 1 week of play?
No. I mean, look, the numbers are amazing. 32, 7, and 7. Basically 1-1 in the blocks and steals in 5 threes per game. But, bro, you knew this. I knew this. The guy is an amazing stat guy. He is a first-round pick in fantasy basketball when you look at the average of his stat line, okay? But then I believe it's like 49 games the last 2 years, right? And we understand the injury issues that he's had. So you asked me, has he won me over? No, okay? We look, 32-7-7, Brew is the best stat line he's ever had, okay? So there's that, right? He's been at like 25 with goodies, but 32-7-7? But nah, man, like give me a healthy month where you're doing Luka Doncic type of stuff. And so check with me in about 3 weeks, bro. I need to see more.
I think if he keeps going for 3 weeks, who knows what's going to happen with you, but like the rest of the world might implode or explode. They're so happy about the LaMelo pick. I think people, they nobody knew what to do early in draft season. One preseason game, seeing him do what he's doing, everybody's like, I'm all in. And they just went early second round, and now you get what exactly you thought you were going to hopefully get, and people are out there doing their victory laps, and I'm fine
they
with
should.
It. Have fun.
And if you want to sell high with LaMelo Ball right now and go get into a Booker or a Mitchell or like a real heavyweight, or, you know, LaMelo and another dude, go make a run at SGA, right? Like if he's that, you know, I don't trust him, Brew. I don't trust him. And to be honest with you, 3 more weeks, getting a month healthy through the season isn't going to do it, man. Because then that next game could be that injury, man. He's got to put, I'll just say this, I'll be conservative. He's got to put 65 games on the ledger this year. I got to see 65. Okay. Like get back to normalcy with the attendance here. So I would be looking to sell high with LaMelo. I'd be floating little deals out right now while he's hot and the whole league is buzzing about him.
Yeah, that was the next question. But that little fact that you just pushed in there of the minute, so he goes for a month. Now, all of a sudden, the odds seem to be even worse that next injury is coming right around the corner. So it's like with the good news is the bad news, and it's a game of gambling. Okay, let me get you one more question on this top 15 here. What strikes you as more interesting, Cam Thomas at 14 or Franz at 15?
Franz at 15. Franz has been a lot better than Paulo Banchero. Paulo's at 21-8-5. Really good stat line, but I thought he was the guy that was going to pop into the 25 with Goody's range. Franz has done that. We're a week in, got a long way to go. I'm not giving up on my big Paulo opinion, but Franz is at 25-6-4, 1.7 steals, 3.3 threes. And I have been a fader of Franz Wagner, Brew, because of the lack of fantasy gold. He's never been a block steal guy, and he's not a big three-point shooter, okay? So that's why I fade him. Well, he's at 5 with the steals and threes combined. 5, okay? That's a major number, obviously. So I would say Franz Wagner among those two. I don't see Franz maintaining these numbers. I think they will deflate a little bit, and I think Paulo's are going to inflate a little bit. One more guy that I wanted to talk about here, Brew, is Chet Holmgren. Okay, you're watching these games. I'm watching these games, and I'm seeing a dominant basketball player. I'm seeing a guy go from young stud to I'm one of the best players in the league. And you mentioned, who are you talking about, Sirius? Jordan Poole. Just a quick point on that, because a little thought bubble here. When you put the ball in Poole's hands, which is what they had to do. Remember last year he was out coming off the bench and you're just wasting $30 million a year. You got to put him on the ball. You got to see what you got with that, and they smartly have done that. But when you put him on the ball, Brew, and you know this, you got to get more serious. You're the point guard. You're the extension of the coach. You can't half-ass out there with your tongue hanging out and trying to look cool in all this Jordan Poole stuff. No, you got to get dirty. You got to get your hands dirty with game plans and scouting reports. You got to set dudes up. No, and that, so I think that's why you're seeing that serious look from Jordan Poole. Now, for Chet Holmgren, he is second in the league in rebounding, Brew, at 13 a game, first in the NBA in shot blocking at 4 per game, giving us 24 points, 3 assists, 1.3 steals, and 1.3 per game. So what Chet has done, and it's a week, but what Chet has done, he has now given the world, out of OKC, 2 MVP candidates, all right? SGA and Chet. And Chet has vaulted past J-Dub as the second best player on this team. And J-Dub's scooping finish at the buzzer at halftime yesterday against Atlanta was incredible. But Chet's looking like the second best player on this team right now. Dude, Chet Holmgren is 5th, Brew, 5th in value right now.
You might have to fight Andre on this. You might have to fight me on this because I'm not ready to go there yet. I don't think it's fair that Jalen Williams, just by virtue of having normally great games, is getting knocked off the second best player pedestal. But when you're Chet throwing these numbers up, I completely get it. Okay, hang on. This is Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online. We're going through some news. And if you're on Twitter or YouTube, you want to get questions answered, go on over to Discord. The link is in the show notes. Get your questions asked and answered there. Premium subscribers will, of course, get precedence. But the news and the rotations and the injuries, kind of where we're heading with certain that's the top of the board here. And OKC was kind of on the top of my board for news because of this, because of Chet. Chet is basically, you know, just out there doing exactly as you describe, being Superman. And I guess the question is how protective of their Chet asset should people be? You know, how, like, is he going to be a top 12 guy the rest of the time, even when Hartenstein gets back? What do you think?
It's a good question. And I'm just seeing this pop from Chet, man. Like, they can't thwart this. They can't hinder this. They've got to nurture this. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, if Chet were just out here and doing like 17-8 with 3.5 blocks and like normal Chet stuff, but Brew, you're watching these games, man. The impact in the eye test is almost more than the stat test. I mean, yesterday against Atlanta, he had 6 blocks. He owned the paint. Nobody could do anything in there against Chet Holmgren, okay? Just dominated, took over the game in that. It, like Deion Sanders shutting down one half of the field back in the day. That's what Chet Holmgren did. So, I understand. Hartenstein's going to have to get in where he fits in. Okay, Chet is rolling. We're doing nothing to disrupt that. But no, I wouldn't be looking to trade Chet Brew. He proved, you know, he's a healthy dude and an available dude last year. We have no reason to worry about an injury to me. Suffered a fluke injury in the summer pro-am, okay, backpedaling, trying to guard LeBron, and so things popped and went doy-oy-oying. Who cares, all right? The guy's been a healthy stud ever since. And so I just say ride it out. Enjoy the goodies, man. Hopefully he's a league winner for you.
Yeah, well, that it certainly looks to be the case. I do have some questions about can he get – I mean, he's fifth right now. That's pretty lofty territory. When you're in the top five, you have to keep doing top five numbers, and it's really hard to have top five numbers. And I do think that people right now are asking themselves, do I have a top five asset? And that you could get a back end of the first round guy right now. You could probably get Donovan Mitchell right now. You could probably get James Harden right now.
You'd probably get Halliburton for him right now.
Oh, you could definitely get Halliburton for him right now. I'm not saying everybody would go for that, but that's going to be something that we'll talk about here maybe as we get into the games themselves. But the yeah, this OKC thing, a couple things I think are happening is one is watch out for your team. If you got a fantasy player going against them, that team's going to get destroyed that game. It might just blow up the box score. And the other thing is that OKC is so good that I think these multiple steals and blocks games are coming in mass for everybody. It's 3-3 for Shea. What's funny is we're talking about historic Wemby, and I really do think that Jokic has a peak season coming for him. And that might actually be competed with by Oklahoma City in these two players right here who are going nuts. Looks like we have a question from a viewer. So let's go ahead and get that one on the screen here. Poke Marque, if I got that right. Do you think iHeart will drain some rebounds and defensive stats from Chet long-term? What do you think, Doc? Or Rick? I just called you Doc. You can yell at me if you want.
No, that's fine. Look, it's a compliment. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
You know, Chet is number two in rebounding at 13 per game. Is he going to be up there with the Goberts? I mean, Zubats leads the league right now at 14, right? Shout out Ibiza. But when Hartenstein comes back, Chet's rebounding number is probably going to drop, probably down to double-double range at about 10. You know, will he maintain a 24 PPG clip this year? I don't know. Probably not. But you know where I'm at, Brew. It's the four blocks. Why not? The 1.3 steals. Yep, I see that. And 1 3 ball per game. And that's actually light right now. I think Chet's going to get that number up to 1.5 or 2 per game. So it's just about the fantasy gold for me. And if you look at that rebounding number, yeah, when Hartenstein comes back, he'll probably take a bite out of that. But he's not going to take a bite out of the threes, the steals, or the blocks.
Right. Let's spin this over to a couple of really buzzy fantasy topics right now. Guys that aren't playing tonight, we might not get to some of these guys, but where are you at with Dyson Daniels? Like Dyson Daniels has been, he slowed down a tiny bit in the last game, but he jumped out just like a rocket and has been making the kinds of plays that all the Dyson backers out there, including myself, defensively, like, man, this guy's solid. I read somewhere somebody said that when he does his defensive slide training that he has 35-pound weights in each hand. And he's just holding them out to the sides while doing that. That's crazy. And who knows, maybe they all do it all day long. Where are you at with Dyson Daniels? Do you think that this is sustainable where he's getting multiple steals and blocks and hitting some threes and keeping it going? Like, or is this a sell high moment for him?
No, I mean, the stat line is 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.3 blocks, 2.7 steals, and 1.3 threes. I don't really – I mean, 2.7 steals is a pretty freakish number in today's NBA, but could Dyson Daniels be at 2 steals per game? Yep, all day. With his defensive instincts, his rocked-up superhero 6'8" body, the quick – twitchy movements that you were talking about right there. Absolutely. He's a hold. He's a find. He's a discovery. He's a revelation. He's a possible league winner here. I'm definitely not looking to sell high with him. I'm patting myself on the back for picking up Dyson Daniels. And I'm not saying me. I mean, it's more of a rhetorical, you know, if you've done that kind of thing. I have some shares of Dyson Daniels after that first game. Bam, 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 bam. And got him in as many leagues as I could, but it was tough. It's very competitive at that point. But I don't see really any numbers here, Brew, that are like, he can't maintain that. Like Chet at 24 points. Like, no, I don't think he's going to average 24, okay? You know, Cam Thomas is at what, 31 or something like that? Where's Cam at? 31 points. Is Cam Thomas going to be at 31? Is he going to live with Luka and SGA and those guys all year? Maybe, but probably not. I think Dyson Daniels is good to go. He's one of the best, you know, deep discoveries of the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I have some concern about the overall volume of the goodie stats, the threes, the steals, and the blocks. If those are in this general vicinity, I think he's got top 100 upside, maybe a little bit more if it all goes perfectly. I just know one thing about Dyson Daniels. I don't know if the ROI is going to be just massive because of the things that I just mentioned, but I do know this. He's not coming off the court, like, at all. He's the perfect fit to play with Trae Young, and that's that.
Did you watch any of the OKC Atlanta game yesterday, Brew?
No, not that one.
Because Dyson was on SGA, and SGA had a great stat line. But I'm telling you right now, this stat test spoke of a 15-5-5 for SGA. Mm. I mean, Dyson was locking him up, dude, and just the determination and the Michael Jordan-esque. Hold on, that's a weird reference.
SGA Let's puts cleanse up, the palate of what just happened.
SGA puts up MJ stat lines, right? The 35-5 with the one block and the two steals. Okay, that's where the MJ thing comes in. So I just wanted to make that clear. I'm not just flatly making some MJ comparison to SGA, but like Dyson Daniels is a problem. Okay. Brew, like Herb Jones is, right? When mm-hmm. opponents are going up against New Orleans, oh, shoot, it's a Herb Jones night. They
like Jonathan Mogbo.
Yes, they're saying that around that the league. Good call, dude. Good call. They're saying that around the league for Dyson Daniels right now. He's a problem right now.
Yeah, that's I look at it the same exact way. It's really fun to watch him get the opportunity because it's been sitting there. It's just been waiting, and now there's the perfect spot because you need – low utilization, low usage offensive players and defensive players to go next to Trae Young. And here you go. Here's one of the best in the business. And I think he's going to get a lot of accolades this year. Let's spin over to the Clippers because you got a bunch of different things going on. James Harden's got a run of the yard. He's doing what we all kind of expected him to do. Then you get Ivica Zubac, who looks like a stat factory right now. Norm had a really big game. He kind of chilled out in the last one with just 20 points and not much else going. But that's what Norm does. I think that was the expectation for Norm. And maybe some low-volume games and then some big games like he had. But Zubac in particular, what are you doing with Zubac? Does he feel like he's now a top 50 guy and that's the future? Or are you taking this and you kind of parlaying this into some other trade action?
Nah, I don't. I think – if I have Zubac, I'm feeling good about it. When dudes were taking Capella and maybe a Kongwu and you know, I went out and I took the Ivica Zubac. Good for you. You win, okay? Because he's not in any battle for playing time. With Kawhi Leonard out, Ivica Zubac, and we told you all this in the preseason, he's going to eat a lot more. This is going to be a career year for Zubac, and he just got paid in the offseason almost $20 million per year, okay? That speaks to, you know, we're gonna rock with this guy more. And Brew, I've read about this and then I've seen it. Okay, James Harden to Ivica Zubac, it's there. It's like it's not quite like Jokic and Murray or Jokic to Aaron Gordon coming out of the dunker or Draymond on dribble handoffs to Steph. Okay, it's not at that level, but it's at a very very high level. And so I look for them to keep it up, but Brew, he's off to a fantastic start and I'm excited about it. And I would just hold with him moving forward here.
Yeah, that certainly looks like the play. And he could actually do some serious damage and be maybe like top 35 third round value. And what a win for the folks that jumped in on that. Let's get to some key injuries. We have Steph in Golden State. And it looks like Melton's going to miss some time as well. What do you make of this development at large? Like, is this a, oh, crap, reassess the entire team moment? Or is it short of that?
I mean, if Golden State's without Steph, they're about to lose all these games, okay? To me, they're a target. If you know, if the betting line is, like, you know, reasonable, like, go ahead and fade them and take the other team, depending on what that situation is. But to me, this is Brandon Pajemski on the marquee and blinking lights right now, especially with D'Anthony Melton missing time. And Andre is telling us that Andrew Wiggins is a game time, is questionable for tomorrow's game with a lower back strain. And Wiggins has been fantastic. So this is, they're super deep though, Brew. Okay. This is going to mean more time for Moses Moody. It's going to mean more time for Kyle Anderson. It's going to mean more time for Buddy Hield. And, but the main beneficiary here is going to be Brandon Pajemski. As long as Curry is out, it's giddy upville for Brandon Pajemski. Can I go on a quick
rant? You're going to rant?
Well, we're on Golden State here. Can I give you just a little quick rant? I've been over Steve Kerr for a while, Aaron, okay? Not personally. I think he's a great guy. Just in terms of his treatment of James Wiseman, it ruined his career, okay? His treatment of Jonathan Kuminga, in some way, it's at least halted the progress of his career, okay? You know, anytime Kuminga makes a mistake, he's coming out of the game, right? It's just a constant yo-yo. I literally can't believe they just paid Moses Moody, right? Like, you don't play him forever. He has, like, two good games, and you give him all that money. Like, what are you doing? But, Brew, Trayce Jackson-Davis is ready for stardom. He is ready. Like, Onyeka Okongwu is in Atlanta, okay? And I'll give you all that. Like, I'm a Capella guy, but you got – Onyeka's a stud, okay? He's flexing this year. Our boy Trayce Jackson-Davis, who flushed on Wemby last year, is ready for takeoff. But Steve Kerr is keeping him stuck on the tarmac. Let's go through the flow here, Brew. Game one at Portland. Trayce, 25 minutes, 14-4, you know, kind of a light game. Looney played 14 minutes that night. The next game at Utah, Trayce Jackson-Davis goes from 25 down to 17. Kerr, you're driving us crazy with this, all right? Buddy still had 12-9, all right, TJD. Looney played 13 minutes in that game. The last game is what really pissed me off, Brew. Trayce Jackson-Davis, and he's starting, by the way, down to 16 minutes. What is that, okay? And so now Trayce Jackson-Davis is in his own brain. Wait a minute. I thought I was the guy. Looney's the guy? Really? I got to look over my shoulder at freaking Looney, who you almost cut? Okay, so Looney plays 20 minutes. Trayce Jackson-Davis plays 16. Trayce had 4-1-1 with nothing. Horrible stat line. Looney flexed, 10-11, 3 assists, harkening back to the nostalgic dynasty days. Oh, come on, Looney. Everybody loves him, blah, blah, blah. Okay, really? Trayce Jackson-Davis is in a minutes crunch with Kevon? I've looked rickety and old ever since I left UCLA. Looney, are you serious right now? Okay, so that's the end of the rant. Don't drop Trayce Jackson-Davis, people. Hang in there with him. But what I'm seeing so far has been very frustrating.
You know, I'm thinking about that Moneyball, the movie, was about the Oakland A's, and maybe management there is just making deals and sending the message to Steve Kerr that you don't run this operation anymore. It feels like Golden State has turned the page in many respects. Clay's gone. Dre's been paid, but, you know, is he going to be as important as he's been in the past? And then Jonathan Kuminga, you know, it feels like there's a lot of support for Jonathan Kuminga, but they don't want to play him at small forward, you know? So it's a lot of rocks and hard places here, and it's going to, it's probably going to be messy until Steve Kerr kind of maybe finds his way out. There's a lot of pressure in Golden State, you know, locally, and the fans, the press, and I think in general, I think this Team USA stuff didn't help. And I also think that Lacob thinks that he can kind of do this on his own. And so, you know, Bob Myers is gone. There's just a lot of change in Golden State. And then as far as all of this recent injury stuff, you know, with your streamers and such, Pajemski, if he can't get it done this week, I think people are going to jump off that bandwagon because this is the week for him. Buddy Hield to me is like a constant, and I think he's going to be good this season. I think he's just going to truck along. He might bring you top 75 value. If we've seen it in the past. We've seen him do it in Indiana when nobody thought he had a chance there, and he's just probably going to do the same exact thing. Melton, unsurprisingly, with the back stuff, I think that back injury has pretty much derailed his career. That's unfortunate. One of my favorite players. So says the internet. And I agree. And yeah, it's just really unfortunate. Other than that, I think that's it for Golden State. I want to get your take on the Paul George, Joel Embiid stuff. Like, are you with me in that I think there's been enough pressure, say, from the league and their quasi-investigation, whatever they're doing there to keep everybody happy, and these guys being out on the court and doing their pregame stuff. Hell, I'll even say this. I wondered this on the show earlier today. Is Embiid watching Andre Drummond get out on the perimeter and steal the ball from Tyrese Halliburton with the game on the line? You know, is he watching that and going, you know what, man, this guy, he's actually doing pretty good. The team looks okay with him. Maybe that's going to motivate him to get back on the floor. Are you seeing quicker returns for these guys rather than later returns?
No, I mean, they are who they are. These are two of the most notorious game missers that we have. And this is why I never bought Philadelphia. Oh, they're a guaranteed top three team in the East. How? On paper? Maybe. I'm not into it, Brew, and I haven't been into it. I certainly wasn't into it when they had Ben Simmons, the Tin Man, and you know, when they had James Harden, the goat of playoff shrinkage. I wasn't feeling them in that brief era either. And now you bring in Paul George. He's another guy who struggled with choky games and playoff situations and struggled to stay on the court. And here we go. It's hurt. Okay. So, no, I mean, it is what it is. We had Maxi pop off for a 45. He's at 31 points per game. The goodies are pretty light, though, in the rebounds and the assists because he's got to do it all himself. I'm exactly where I was last week on Embiid, George, Maxi in Philly. Okay. Loving Tyrese Maxi. I don't care. I don't care about the NBA's investigation. I don't care about the paperwork. I don't care about windy bums. I don't care. We know they're going to miss a bunch of games. They're dead to me in fantasy. On to the next.
I love it. I love the goat of playoff shrinkage. Put that on a t-shirt. And New Orleans. I think New Orleans is kind of interesting. We got a little bit of Zion back in the mix. Where are you at with Zion? I mean, they went to Portland and lost. That's, you know, that's not great, I guess. You know, that's not a good team. But I do think Portland's got their guns firing right now. Like, this is the time of the year that they're not that bad. You know, Jeremy Grant's not that bad. You know, DeAndre Ayton, not that bad. You know, Anthony Simons had a great game. You know, and you kind of look at them, they're not that bad right now, but they lose in New Orleans. Where are you at with Zion? Where are you at with Brandon Ingram? Like, what's the kind of stock report there?
Well, with Zion, you know, the stock is fledgling right now, honestly. You know, 15 points is very light for him. I expected that number to be around 25. He's two games in. He's minutes restricted here at 28 per. Only taking 13 shots per game and only making 26% of his shots. So to me, there's some rust on Zion. He's going to pop for 37 here and he's going to get his numbers right. He has a 2 blocks per game, which is something that we really wanted to see with the reduced weight, with more at stake. You know, let's ramp up the defensive end a little bit here. The 26% from the field is shocking for Zion, who's not, you know, a deep shooter or an intermediate shooter. He's a driver and a spinner and finisher off the glass and that kind of thing. So I'm still fine with Zion. Very high on him coming into the season. And to me, he's just working his way into the flow. Brandon Ingram is an enjoy it while it lasts situation. A, because of the return of Zion. B, because Brandon Ingram, 3-2-1, is probably due for a soft tissue injury. Okay. So, and again, same thing with Brandon Ingram. I've always been, I'm not a fan. I'm not talking about the dude. I'm not talking about even necessarily in reality, because I think he's a pretty good player in reality, but in fantasy, I just think the guy's overrated.
Yeah, I would agree full-fledgedly there. Hawkins has been a good pickup. Even Alvarado with his triple one that was with 4 assists and not much else. I'm always down for that. That team, we'll see how they morph in the next couple of weeks. Hawkins might be the most consistent pickup that you can grab there. And again, well, this is Fantasy NBA Today presented by Bet Online. Welcome to the viewers on Twitter and YouTube, and get on over to Discord. The link is in the show notes. You can ask and have questions answered. Priority goes to the premium members, of course. And I think now is a good time to pivot into tonight's action. And let's see, I want to touch maybe one thing from each game, you know, one thought. You know, the first one on the docket is Indy at Orlando at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern. And Tyrese Halliburton, to me, is the big story here. I've probably got more Tyrese Halliburton questions than almost anything else these days. Are you buying that there's a decrease in value here?
Well, temporarily, yes. Long-term, no. Y'all need to know Franz Wagner's questionable with an illness tonight, so keep an eye on that. Be ready to get him out of your lineup. Set an alarm, whatever you got to do. But Halliburton right now is at 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. What? Like, that's a Nebhard line. What are we doing here? The shooting is shockingly horrible, Brew. He's at 32 from the field, 20 from 3, 57 from the line. This is a 50-40-90 type of guy. What we have here is a couple of things. He is obviously off to a slow start, and it happens. But Indiana is a very equal opportunity team. You've got Mathurin. You've got Nembhard. You've got Nesmith. You've got Siakam. You've got Turner. You've got Obi Toppin. You've got TJ McConnell. Okay, we're deep. We got guys that pat the ball. We got guys with talent, okay? And here's the thing. Halliburton's like his own worst enemy here because Halliburton is so freaking unselfish and cool, right, and non-ego-ish. Like, Halliburton's not getting to the podium after the game and like, oh, wow, I got to boost my stats. Did they win? He's happy. He's legit, you know, cookies and hot dogs and American flags that way, man. He's just that dude. And so – but it's going to get better, Brew. It just has to. 12, 3, and 4? Like, this is a 20 and 10 guy. He's the only dude in the history of the league to go 20 and 10 and shoot 40% on threes. And I think he's done that twice. Only guy ever to do that. Okay, so hang in there. This would be, Brew, a buy low opportunity on Tyrese Halliburton. So that's how I'd be looking at this. I'd be looking to maybe go snag a Hallie right now if I didn't have him.
Yeah, that's I think most analysts are on that. And that's definitely the play, I think. I'd say there's probably about an 80% chance that we're not even talking about this in a couple of weeks, that this is just business as usual. I've watched this slide from him many times, whether it was in Sacramento or in Indy. He's kind of that guy who loses his confidence for like 3 games in a row, and then he comes back and he drills 6 threes in the first quarter. And right. You're just done. You know, you're done having the question mark there. One, I guess if there's one angle, it's that I keep coming back to that I'm not quite coming around on is what if Nembhard has taken a step forward and then takes that a little bit of extra ball handling out of his hands and you got Siakam and maybe that assist number calms down a little bit. That's the only thing. Everything else is all systems go. And I do think this is a great opportunity to buy low. How about Washington and Atlanta? Tonight, you know, we talked a little bit about Jordan Poole. We talked a little bit about Dyson Daniels. Is there anything in that game that's catching your eye?
Not much. It's Washington and Atlanta, but Zachary Sache. So Onyeka Okongwu is out with a left big toe injury. DeAndre Hunter, stop me if you've heard this before, is questionable with a right knee. He missed yesterday's game. Brew, I almost swept the table last week in all of my fantasy games with wins except for one. The one game I lost. Came down, it was like 5-4 going into Sunday, and I picked up DeAndre Hunter on Sunday morning thinking that I needed points in threes. I just needed 15 points in 2 threes. No, he didn't play, okay? So, and I knew going in, I'm not a DeAndre Hunter guy, so he screwed me yesterday. So, okay, I'm going to fade him for the rest of my life now. I gave him one last chance, and he blew it. He's questionable for tonight. Was yesterday the load management game, and now tonight he comes back and plays. That gets me eye rolling too. Like we're a week into the season and we need to do the back-to-back load manage thing. Like how broken is this dude? Like, give me a break. Bogey is out. Okay. So you've got Okongwu out, Hunter questionable, Bogey out, Risache green lit. He had 13 with 6-2 and 1-1, 13-6-2 with 1-1 in the previous game. So I'm looking for Risache to have a ball game tonight.
Yeah, that's a great place to look. And it's really unsettling for Okongwu to be out this early. That I'll say that. People are thinking of it the other way around, thinking that Clint Capella is the injury risk. That's not the case right now. It's Okongwu. I'm seeing Barlow's out, so that takes some fun out of the equation. You don't have forget the backup center. Bruno. Oh, we do talk about Bruno. Bruno Fernando. He's not there. who's going to be the guy?
Which team are you talking about? Atlanta?
We're talking Atlanta right now. Risa Shea is the guy. He would be there, Bruno, if he hadn't.
Bruno is on Toronto now. Bruno Fernando made his way up to Toronto.
And I actually like him on Toronto. I like a few players in Toronto.
If you're in a 20-team league and Bruno's on waivers, go get him. I like Bruno Fernando.
He can't get me off of Mogbo right now. But the Bruno Fernando, he could easily be a guy in like March and April.
No question about it.
Yeah,
no question.
At any rate, I'm getting a little bit off track. We got Larry Nance as the third option. So get your Nance out there while you can. Milwaukee and Boston on NBA TV. You know, it's a big game from a reality standpoint. I don't know if I've got any fantasy angles I'm trying to uncover in this game. I guess I want to see Dame do well. I want to see if that train starts to pick up steam. And Milwaukee 1-2. That's an angle.
The drama for me here is with Giannis. He has right patella tendonitis. And his numbers are kind of down. He's at 22 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. Pardon me. That was Sunday's stat line on the year. He is only at one stock per game, okay, which is real light for him, and it's only a week in. But I'm looking at Giannis tonight. Like, Brew, you know this. They lost to Brooklyn yesterday, and Brooklyn ran away and hid from them in the fourth quarter of that game. And now you're at Boston, okay, and it's a 9.5-point spread here. So is this a blitzkrieg, and is this a Boston Tea Party, or does Milwaukee say, we're second of a back-to-back, we don't care, we got to have a pride game going here early in the season? So that's all the stuff I'm looking for here. If I had to play the betting line, I would take Boston and lay the points. And maybe, just maybe, Brew, Dame has a breakout game. He's 10 of 29 from three. But this is an awful matchup to have a breakout game when you're playing Derek White, Drew Holiday, okay? And these guys are going to be Jaylen Brown. They're going to be all dialed in on him, okay? So those are the things I'm looking for. But Boston's on another level right now, man. They're on another freaking level. And they may destroy Milwaukee tonight.
I'm wondering it. So it probably means more to Dame than it does to Drew. That's if you're trying to think DFS or player props bets, or can Milwaukee hang here? And the fact that you're laying the points for Boston, that tells me they're walking into 1-3. They could easily walk into 1-3, regardless of what you're betting. But like, they could walk into 1-3, and now the questions start coming. And then, is Doc Rivers the guy? And then, are we staying in Milwaukee, or are we just getting out of here? That stuff, to me, it gets real big and heavy, and it starts to impact the last half of the season. So if you're sitting on Giannis, who's also got his right knee on the injury report, it's probable. But that knee is doing a lot of heavy lifting in many ways. Milwaukee, then Boston is like you said, I almost wonder, do they think, okay, we could probably strangle Milwaukee out of this thing? Maybe in week one, you know, put the seeds of doubt right in their minds. I don't got a fantasy take here. I want to see Sam Hauser get back on the floor. I think he's got more than people think he's got right now, but he's already got back stuff going on, and they could just, you know, strangle Milwaukee. Yo, that's what I'll be watching for tonight. Detroit and Miami also at 4:30, 7:30 Eastern. Detroit 0-3, Miami 1-1. They're in Miami. Did Detroit catch the Miami flu? maybe not. I don't know. But at 0-3, they've played it tight. Like, they've played it tight this season. They competed in each of those three losses. So what are you looking forward to out of this game from a fantasy perspective? And then maybe we'll get into some of the reality stuff.
I'm looking for Detroit to live inside the number of 8.5. I think Miami's a pretty mediocre team. And you're right, Detroit's healthy. It's early in the season, so they're all frisky, and you know they're pissed because they're 0-3 and they want to break through the win. So I think Detroit's going to fire tonight. I don't know if they're going to win the game or not, but I think they're going to fire and make that a competitive game. And I'm looking at my guy Cade Cunningham, 25-5-8. I'm looking at my guy Jaden Ivey. And Monty Williams should be absolutely ashamed of himself. Jaden Ivey through the first week, Brew, is a 22-5-5. Okay, Brew, I don't know if you watch Jaden Ivey at Purdue. Jaden Ivey at Purdue gave me Dwayne Wade vibes. He gave me Donovan Mitchell vibes. He gave me star 25-5 stat line vibes at Purdue. Okay. He was a player of the year type of level guy. He was that big of a deal in college. And so I've been waiting for this pop, right? JB Bickerstaff is the man. 22-5-5 so far for Jaden Ivey. Frankly, it's been one of the better backcourts in the NBA. They're combining for 50 points per game, Brew.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to figure out how to win, and these have been some tough games. I mean, Indy came and kind of walloped them toward the end, and otherwise they had that game in the – they had that under their belts. And then Jaden Ivey is – I've watched him play and said, oh, that's the best player on the floor. I've said that probably like five times watching him play, and you don't really get that, especially out of a guy that's been diminished. We'll leave it at diminished as much as he has. In Detroit, I want to see if Jalen Duren keeps getting blocks. Is Tim Hardaway going to be a thing at all? That's something kind of on the periphery in certain formats that I'm kind of wondering about. Miami with Bam, is he going to just morph into a three-point shooting big man where, you know, the percentages aren't good and teams are happy to let him shoot? Is there a problem with that going on? I do think there's a little bit of an internal struggle in Miami as to whether or not they're going to run or not. I think that they want Jimmy to run. I don't think Jimmy wants to run. Jimmy had a big one in the last one. I'm happy with that. I got a lot of Jimmy Butler out there, bought into some of the ideas that he's going to be upright this season. We're going to get a lot of intel on Miami, I think, as a whole in this game. In the next 4:30 game, we got Cleveland and New York. I think Cleveland's a pretty cookie cutter team, but what about New York? They haven't played for a couple days. They just got two games under their belt. What are you thinking about with New York right now?
Well, I'm thinking that they are lacking firepower without Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. And I'm feeling the loss of options. Karl Anthony Towns is averaging 16. Mikal Bridges is off. Okay, OG Anunoby. Like, they need Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby to be awesome every night, okay? And that didn't used to be the case. Like, they could have good games, whatever, when you've got Randall and you've got Dante. Now you've got Cat, okay? You've consolidated. And so I'm feeling that so far, Brew, from New York. Also, on a reality tip, they don't know how to play with each other yet, okay? They are still searching. The trade just happened, and so there's bad passes, and there's, oh, my bad. I didn't know you wanted it here. And so that's why I think Cleveland's a really good play here tonight, Brew. New York is -2.5. I like Cleveland to go to the Garden and win this game. Cleveland is 3-0. They're 2-0 on the road. And to me, they have a lot of stuff figured out. They got the Mobley thing figured out. Jared Allen is a top 15 fantasy player. Donovan Mitchell's kind of on a cruise control, but still playing well. You got Garland. You've got LeVert and Okoro and Ty Jerome's playing very well behind point. They just, to me, they've got a lot of stuff figured out here, Brew, early in the season. And to me, New York does not. So I like Cleveland tonight to go into the Garden and pull off the upset.
That's kind of, when you told me the line, I was shocked. 2.5. I get that there's respect for what New York accomplished last year in the playoffs. It's a big, buzzy public team, but Cleveland's hitting on all cylinders and New York's hitting on none right now. I would take that Cleveland number as well. We got a premium question. We're going to cover this game in a second, but we haven't answered a question in a while. This is about Zach Edey and Jay Huff. I had to make sure that Jay's name was Jay before the show, so I knew who I was talking about. Edey, though, would you drop Edey for Huff right now?
No, nothing scared you.
Like, how? Let's pivot this into it. Huff's not going to be around that much. Huff's not going to be around.
Let me explain. You're in 30 deep. I'm in 30 deep. Doc's in 30 deep. For those why, it's a 30 team league with industry heads. Okay, it's been around for a long, long time. It is my personal holy grail championship. It's the biggest chip that I've ever tried to win that I have not won yet. Okay, so I'm hopefully this is the year. Jay Huff was on waivers in this 30 team league. Okay. I didn't want to drop any of my guys, Ushman Jang, Dario Saric, Marcus Sasser, and I could have, but I'm like, nah, it's just too early. I want to ride it out a little bit. So that's where I'm at with Jay Huff. I would not drop a week into the season.
Let's spin it to a question about Edey, though. I mean, Edey went in high stakes. Usually guys know what they're doing, like 50, 60. I know. That was my reaction.
I thanked them for their service. That's way too high.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, where are you at with Edey? Like, are you, I mean, if expectations were low to begin with, are you hanging on and how many games are you going to hang on if it keeps going like this?
I mean, it all depends, man. Like, I'm hanging in there with Trace Jackson Davis, right? And he's now, you know, Go ahead, bro. I didn't want to interrupt.
I was gonna say, yeah, no. Would you have Trace Jackson Davis over Zach Edey?
I would, but my point is, I'm hanging in there with TJD. The numbers suck. Steve Kerr's messing with his minutes, but we're a week in. You know, decisions can change. Rotations can change. We're still early. This is not – there are some rotations that are in cement. There's some that aren't, okay? And Zach Edey's playing 17 minutes a game, giving you 8 and 5, basically no blocks. And so it is a droppable stat line. If you – like if Clint Capella somehow is on waivers, okay, drop Zach Edey and go get Clint Capella. I don't know if I would do that in a dynasty league, but in a redraft league, I would do that. But, Brew, it's just that the season is so young that I don't want to, 1 week into the season, unpack very many of my off-season long opinions. Does that make sense? And so,
oh God, yeah.
You know, with Zach Edey here off to a slow start, who cares? I want to ride it out. I want to take this journey a little bit farther with him.
Yeah, exactly. That's the question. Is like, how much do you want to ride it out? What's the opportunity cost? Is like Dyson Daniels available on your waiver wire somehow a week ago? You know, whatever that question is the hot pickup worth grabbing? And then the guy that you're going to see it out a little bit, how long do you hold? And there's a ton of those kinds of guys out there.
Well, hell. like Brew, I'm dropping Edey to go get an Andre Drummond right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Like I'm making that move.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, the context is everything. League settings are everything. Your squad is everything. So a lot of this information, you kind of got to figure out where it fits in. You need to get on Discord and ask your questions there where you can get a little bit more detailed answer, perhaps, maybe not on air if it's super complicated, but you know, you get the devil in the details, and that's why you try to flesh it out. Got news that came in. No shocker here. Ben Simmons injury management ruled out for Tuesday. Days that end in Y. What do we got? We got Denver and Toronto. Okay, I get to talk about Jonathan Mogbo, but I won't bore you all with those details. Any other thoughts on Denver and Toronto before I spend the requisite 1 minute gushing over Mogbo?
Are we going to get a Jamal Murray game north of the border in Canada, where he's from, because we're getting 17-4-4 from Jamal Murray. 17-5. This guy hates the regular season. And you know what else? He hates the beginning of the season. He always gets off to slow starts. He, you know, the slow build, and then he kind of picks it up throughout the season. But he's always then complaining about never making an all-star team. You have to kill it in the first half to make an all-star team, especially as a guard in the West. Come on. So, is he going to have, you know, the homecoming spike here? And on the Toronto side, are we going to get RJ Barrett? He is questionable with a right shoulder injury, might play tonight. That would send Ogbaji, I believe, back to the bench. Grady Dick would probably start. By the way, somebody tell Grady Dick that there's more that you can do on a basketball court than hit threes. Look at his stat line. It is points, threes, and nothing else. Allen Houston is somewhere smiling about his stat line. And, you know, once again here, they're going to be playing without Emmanuel quickly with the right pelvic contusion.
Yeah, it's that team is fascinating to me. I don't know how much Jonathan Mogbo film you've been able to consume in the first week of the season. I'm on a Mogbo quest, and he played 9 minutes last game and had 2 steals, guys. This is not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. It is not a guarantee. It is. I saw a player move on a basketball court that, like, I've seen very few players move like. If you get out there and you watch the film on Mogbo, you're going to be like, wow, what an athlete. And, oh, by the way, he does a certain number of things on the basketball floor that are useful, especially for a team that might want to tank. And he's very versatile. And I see your eyes scanning, Rick. He's not available in 30 deep. Panda, that bastard, stole him from me, just like he stole Keon Ellis from me. A pick before me. I got drafting next to Panda, and I hate Panda. Panda, I hate you. I just spent a decent chunk of change on Fab in high stakes to get Mogbo. I needed to secure another backup center, and so I just went with my gut on it, and I actually didn't need to spend the money that I spent. I didn't spend a ton, more like 100 to 125 of 1,000 Fab dollars. I could have probably spent $1 in 90% of those leagues, maybe $10 or $11. When it got expensive, I spent a lot. But that's okay. It's the early part of the season. And but all kidding aside, the rebounds, the steals, the blocks, potential for him to be trotted out there during the March and April time, you know, in a very serious fashion. Like Darko Rajakovic loves this guy. and they probably want to develop him. I have not seen somebody play defense. There's stuff going around the internet right now. Like, he's covering Anthony Edwards effectively, like big time. It is awesome. And he might play 6 minutes tonight, everybody. 6 minutes. But I'm going to take the gamble. I'm going to take the risk. What do we got next? Chicago at Memphis. Chicago at Memphis has got a lot going on. I don't know. I'm happy to see Zach LaVine do. You know, he's light. He's, you know, feathery. He's bouncy, springy, whatever word you want to use there. And then Memphis. What's going on with Memphis? Do we have a word on Ja? Where is Ja?
He is questionable tonight. I don't have the injury written down here, but I've got Ja in a bunch of leagues, including the Sports Ethos League. I think both of them I've got him. Anyway, I've got a ton of shares of Ja Morant. His game tonight is at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So, of course, I have the 7:24 alarm set, Brew, to find out if he's in or out, and then I can pivot and maybe go with some of the 7:30 guys before their games fire off. But here's what I want to talk about with this game and what I'm looking for. And Ja Morant fell in drafts, usually to about the third round, and that's where your boy Cam pounced on him, okay? I have not been psyched about the Ja Morant transaction, and we'll see moving forward, but so far, no good. Here's the problem, Brew. He's playing 25 minutes per game. Scottie Pippen Jr., okay, is in a virtual timeshare with Ja Morant. Make it make sense. Ja's at 25 minutes. Scottie Pippen's at 23 minutes. They perfectly puzzle piece fit the 48 minutes at point guard, okay? And they're basically splitting the game here. Ja Morant, 21 points, 7 assists, no defense at all, okay? Very disappointing. And then Scottie Pippen Jr., one of the best under-the-radar stat lines of the season. He's at 10 points. He's at 4 rebounds. He's at 7.7 assists, more than Ja. He's at 1.7 steals, 0.7 blocks. And let me get you Scottie Pippen's three balls. He is at only 1 3 ball per game. Ja is at 0.7 threes, shooting 19% from three-point range. So Ja Morant, to me, has been a massive disappointment. The production, the playing time, and unleash this guy. I get it. Scottie Pippen Jr. is a really good backup point guard. 23 minutes to 25 minutes. This is arguably the biggest buzzkill going on in fantasy basketball right now.
Unless you're a Scottie Pippen Jr. fan, I love Scottie Pippen Jr. I tried so hard to get him high up in my ranks. It was impossible to do so because of this traffic in Memphis. It would have been irresponsible to place him any higher than I did. I guarantee you I had him higher than anybody else. He's great. He is absolutely great. He does the defensive stats. He plays smart. He understands where his spot is in the pecking order. I think that's going to just make coaches love him and want to play him more. And if he dipped below 20 minutes per game this season, it might be a shock at this point. And at 20 minutes per game, I think he can kind of get you top 150 numbers. It might be a little ugly from night to night, but maybe not. It might just roll. We got Jaren Jackson in for a second game. I just want to see these Grizzlies sort of at their 5 to 10 games in. I want to see where they're at. And I might suspect Jaws being protected a little bit. There was that ball that got thrown against his foot in the preseason where there's a little bit of ankle tweak, and then he's got a thigh thing. So probably after so much time off, they're just being nice and careful by low moments, of course. And I believe that's all I got. With Chicago, I do want to see how Zach LaVine, how this trends. Overall, you know, Kobe White had an off night. I called that a buy low in the earlier show today. Josh Giddey, you know, is he going to have to wait until it's his turn? Those kinds of things are things I'm wondering about with Chicago. Houston and San Antonio, these guys have been playing lately. How many times have they played each other lately?
I think there's a home and home thing going on here. Don't get me started. I absolutely hate the baseball series because it creates that right there. Don't they play each other every single game? Like New Orleans at Portland. Really? We needed right out of the gate two New Orleans.
Well, they're playing in the preseason too on the 17th.
So Houston. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, it was great to see Wemby and Dylan Brooks wrestling over a jump ball. I'm sure there weren't any breaths held in San Antonio over that. this game, I mean, there's a lot to talk about with both squads. Which one's the thing that's jumping out to you right off the top?
Well, do we get breakout games from the top two players? Okay, Victor Wembanyama has been a massive disappointment. If you drafted him first overall, and if you didn't, shame on you. But so far, this isn't it. He's at 23 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, no steals, none, okay? 1.5 threes. This isn't even close to the stat line that we thought Wemby was going to be giving you, okay? Where we're talking about 3.5 to 4 blocks. Like 1.5 steals has got to be the floor for him. He's at none. 5 assists to me has to be the floor, and he's at 1. 10 rebounds. All right, let's just say he's at 8. Okay. So he's not even close to his projected numbers, at least mine. His shooting is way off, 43 field, 23 3, and then 93 from the line, which is very encouraging. But Wemby to me is due for a breakout game. Will it be tonight? It's at home, it's game 3. I'm kind of feeling a breakout game from Wemby, actually. And then Alpi Şengün has been, I would say, mildly disappointing, and it's early because, Brew, he's only at 16 points per game. He's at 12.7 boards, check. 3 assists, a little light, but that's okay. He's at 2.3 steals, and he's at 1 3 ball per game. But the 16 points per game is pretty light here. So maybe Alpi finds some crevices and some openings, and he can get back up over 20 points per game. He is due for a 20-plusser tonight.
And a quick note, Franz Wagner has been moved to a game-time decision with that illness, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. To your points here, I think Wemby is so due. I think that they probably have the requisite amount of piss and vinegar going in San Antonio to get that thing going. Like, that game was a chippy, chippy game. I'm interested to see how Julian Champagne, I don't think that matchup is a good one for him. He still did just fine in game 2, but in game 1 against Dallas, I think you got the whole package there. I'm a huge Champagne guy, got him on every team, so I'm obviously very happy with what's progressed so far, but we got to see if he can keep it going and keep it going, because eventually the Devin Vassell question starts to come back. And then they didn't roll with Champagne down the stretch of that game. He started in the fourth quarter, and then they went to the bench, and it was a really close game, and he didn't come back into that game. And I don't know what the thinking was there, because he had kind of played just fine at that point, but we'll see, you know, the ins and outs of Greg Popovich. I'm not trying to do that right now. The other side of the coin, Amen Thompson had a quiet game. And you mentioned Alpi Şengün's quiet game. Like, Ime Udoka got mad. He's like, I'm not playing you guys. And I don't know kind of what the thought process there was. I mean, maybe you're going to put a bug in his ear and maybe he'll come back and play harder, Alpi Şengün. But that was, the whole box was off for that team. And Amen Thompson got the worst of it. And there's been Amen Thompson drop questions that have been coming in. I'm personally nowhere close to that. Rick, what are you thinking about Amen Thompson at this point in time?
Well, I wasn't really feeling him coming into the season, or Reed Shepard, or Cam Whitmore, or Tari Eason, because you're playing behind one of the most solid starting fives in the game. And I understand they're not ready to win a championship. And when you talk about Şengün, Jabari Smith, Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, and Fred VanVleet, I'm sorry, that's one of the most solid, in stone, like, rotationally set starting fives that we have. Barring, of course, Jalen Green losing his way defensively, where he then gets benched. But Ime Udoka doesn't play. He showed us this last year with Jalen Green. If you're dogging it on defense, I'm going with Tari Eason or Cam Whitmore, one of these guys, and Amen Thompson, because we have to get stops, period. I don't care about your feelings at all. And so it's nice to know that Ime treats everybody the same way. But these guys will get the message. They got to play that defense, otherwise they won't find the floor. And but I'm a huge Amen Thompson guy overall, Brew. But I just don't like his situation. And he not only has that ceiling of playing time because of that great starting five, but he's also got to contend with Reed Shepard and Tari Eason and Cam Whitmore, right? Maybe one of those guys is cooking a little bit better, and then he gets iced out for another bench guy on that team. So big fan overall, but I have no shares of Amen Thompson this year because I didn't see any kind of a stat pop from him coming.
Yeah, I got it on the other. I've got it the other way. But I totally 100% knew the first month or even two was going to challenge it, like, big time. if you're doing this, you're doing it for your playoff head-to-head matchups, and you're just hanging tight, and you're going to maybe even take a couple L's because of it. Overall, I'm not close to dropping Amon Thompson, but that definitely is on the radar for a lot of people right now. I want to ask you about Jalen Green, but I think I'm going to skip. Let's get a couple of these games in. We're going to go around the horn. We got two to go, Utah and Dallas. What do you want to see out of this game? What's catching your eye?
Well, Brew, Klay Thompson. Because when earlier in the show, we went through the top 15 guys. And, you know, we talked about a lot of guys. We didn't talk about Klay. So let me talk about Klay here real quick. Klay Thompson, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and 5.5 threes. He's second in the NBA in threes made at 5.5 per game. I'm happy for Klay Thompson, Brew. Like, I'm happy for him. The disrespect last year from Steve Kerr was wild. To bench him for Brandon Pajemski, a rookie, all right, and piss him off in that way. And there were other things that were kind of pissing off Klay Thompson. You know, they did offer him, I believe it was 2 years and 48, okay? So I think Lakeup offered him that, like, at the beginning of the year, something like that. So it wasn't a complete slap in the face contractually to him. But I feel like he and Steve Kerr, like, they had a parting of ways. They had a bit of a player-coach divorce going on there. And, Brew, I think Klay Thompson would, like, even if Joe Lacob would have said, Klay, okay, I've slept, I can't let you go. I'm bringing you back. I'm going 3 years and $90 million. Like, we can't let you go. I think Klay Thompson would have been like, Joe, I love you. I'll golf with you. I'll yacht with you. But I got to get out of here. I need a fresh start. And we're seeing Klay Thompson in this fresh start. Okay, here's another thing I like about Klay. It's, you know, defensively, it is what it is. But I'm seeing Jason Kidd has told him, I need you to dive in and get rebounds. And you see it. And like, there'll be a long rebound. And Klay will be that guy, like, spiking in to, like, snatch it at the free throw line, right? Also, they've gotten Klay involved in some passing a little bit out of pick and rolls and guys cutting and rim running off. And it's fun to see him explore that part of his game a little bit. It's not leading to a lot of assists. But it's fun to see how Jason Kidd is using Klay Thompson. He is not just a catch-and-shoot three-ball guy. Jason Kidd's got him doing some other stuff. And I just I'm all about Klay Thompson right now. I'm a huge fan, and he should have another big one tonight.
Look, on the Utah side, we're looking at Keyonte George, and we're looking at Walker Kessler and seeing kind of what's what. But the Dallas side, it's Klay Thompson. Like, the rank is outstanding, obviously. But it's like the question of, what does this legend have happen? You know, the all-time vibes in Dallas are just something else right now. I forget it was McMahon. McMahon tweeted this out. It's like, if there's any coach that could handle this group, it's Jason Kidd. and it's Luka Doncic, just, you know, he's that character. And then you got Kyrie, he's that character. And here comes Klay, total character, best post-game interview. You got 30 minutes after a post-game and you want to listen to Klay go on one, just listen to Klay go on one. He's a character. And they're going to make it work there, and they're going to win a lot of games, and it's going to be fun if Klay is in the playoffs hitting big shots. Mm. And they're just perfectly created. The mm-hmm. centers, the PJ Washington piece, it's just great to watch. The last game at 7 p.m. Eastern, Pacific, is the Lakers and Phoenix. Kind of a tasty morsel to end the night off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, it's always like, it's historical whenever you get LeBron and Durant, right? They're boys. They battle against each other. Two of the all-time greats. So that part's fun. But I like the three betting touts I wanted to give you here. Cleveland, we talked about this. Cleveland plus 2.5 at the Garden tonight. I failed to mention this when we were talking about Houston and San Antonio. I like the Spurs tonight, Brew. They are getting 2.5 at home. Okay, Houston is a 2.5-point favorite. So I like the Spurs as the home dog tonight. I see a pop game from Wemby, and they play so much better at home, so much more life in the Spurs at home. So I think the Spurs are going to be a good home dog tonight. And then I like the Lakers as a road dog tonight, Brew. The Lakers are probably playing the best basketball in the entire NBA right now. Okay, they are cooking. They are defending. They are getting really nice contributions from Reeves and Russell and Rui. Davis is the second best fantasy player going right now. LeBron is at like 23-7-7 doing LeBron James things, okay? And then you've got Connect and some other guys. Jackson Hayes has been really good off their bench. They're cooking. They're playing really well right now, Brew. And so I like them to go into Phoenix and beat the Suns tonight. So I will take the 4.5 with the Lakers as a road dog here tonight. And then, you know, Anthony, this is crazy. Anthony Davis, like we're used to like 25 or 27, something like that, right? With the 12 boards, with the 3 assists, with the 2.5 blocks, the 1.5 steals, these massive, awesome stat lines. Anthony Davis is at 34 points per game. He's chilling with Luka right now, 1 week into the season, man. And think about this. If Davis continues this, he will flip it from LeBron has always been the MVP eligible guy, right? And to like Davis would then be, if there was going to be an MVP from the Lakers, it would be AD. It would not be LeBron. There's a lot of heady stuff going on here with Anthony Davis right now.
Another rematch situation. These guys played on the 25th, whatever, that's Friday. And the Lakers beat them then. I don't think Phoenix is organized enough to compete at this level right now. With what you're saying is I'm on board with all of it. Even Anthony Davis, who I've faded for injury concerns in the past. I've even faded his defense. He just has really aged well in the last 2 years. His lateral movement, it's bad, but it's not falling off a cliff bad, but he's got so much strength. He's got a lot of agility, and that's kept him at that sort of elite level. And then LeBron, I can't say enough about LeBron right now, but really it's Austin Reeves for me. Like, I think people aren't ready for what Austin Reeves is capable of. And if you want to kind of go in between the lines, so to speak, if you just notice when other players that are really kind of a bigger name players, Anthony Edwards, you know, others that like, you know, they might go, hey, you know what, Austin Reeves, you suck. I'm going to punk you. So they're messing with him, but they're messing with him with respect. All the in between the line stuff, slapping at the ball, you know, when the whistle's been blown, you know, just like kind of just giving it to a guy. You can tell they respect his game and his game deserves respect. He's got the ball on a string. He's got all the moves. He can shoot. He can see the game. He's got the defense even. I know people like to pick on his defense, but like for what he is, he's got great defense as well. And the Lakers team is going to make a little bit of a run here this season. It's interesting, especially when you look down the bench, you see a guy like Dalton Connect. I think in his short minutes with his low production, people aren't excited right now. I've been a big fan of what I'm seeing there. And then Phoenix, of course, 2-1. So they're probably feeling decently over there. I actually think people aren't kind of high enough on them. I think that they're going to probably cruise over their win total number. I believe it was 47. I'm not watching for too much stuff there on the fantasy side. All right. I think, and DeAndre Hunter just got ruled out. Let's see here. I think let's do some questions from YouTube real quick, and then we'll get out of here.
Let's do it.
Real quick, because we got some stuff to get to here. All right. QBDA, QB the Wizard. Hey, bros, who wins this trade? Fox, Hart, Lively for Mobley and Jimmy Butler. De'Aaron Fox, Josh Hart, Derek Lively for Evan Mobley and Butler.
Okay, here's what to do here. I'm with it, okay? Fox is a stud, all right? But Hart, I'm not crazy about it. I'm just not. He's not a huge fantasy gold guy. He's more of a PRA guy. Lively splitting with Gafford, so you got that going on. So I like the construction of that side of the deal. And I like the big game hunting. I like going from 3-2. I don't like Jimmy Butler, okay? I don't like trading for Jimmy Butler at all. So that's a no, okay? But here's what I would tell my man here, CBD a Wizard. I would say go for Mobley and another stud on this guy's team. I don't know who that stud is. Okay. Jimmy Butler is going to be a bane on your team. Okay. He is not going to hit threes. He's going to be a good PRA guy when he plays. They're already off to a lousy start. He had that horrible, dreadful first game. I'm just not into it. I like the construction of this deal. Just pick another stud off of the other guy's team, put it in for Butler and send that trade offer out.
God, I hope you're wrong, Rick. I hope you're still wrong, because I got Jimmy Butler in the fourth round all over the place, and it's going to be sad and scary if anything happens with him. But I get your concerns. I get your concerns. I needed to gamble a little bit. Jimmy Butler was my guy. But that trade, I do think that the construction of it, as you said, Fox is a big-time player. Fox is a big-time player. I got him as a top 10 guy this season, and he had a good one in the last time out, but a lot of palace intrigue over there in Kingsland. And we didn't even get to that. Did they play tonight? They do play tonight. We didn't even talk about that. Keon Clark, I think that I'm going to add this real quick. Local media doesn't usually get fired up about things that the Kings do. They're fired up about Keon Ellis not playing in the last game. So we're going to get a real good measure on what they are doing with Keon Ellis. Because if he doesn't play in this one, they might riot in Sacramento.
Kevin Huerter's healthy. Kevin Huerter's in the way.
Keon Ellis is like, man, we're talking about, I think he's an all first team level defender. And will leave it at that. And he can shoot. Good. And he's got a post game. And he's already proven it.
And he's got a big fan in Aaron Brewski.
He does. He does. Maybe the number one fan, but Jonathan Mogbo might be moving in. The Cousins, 98-55. What's your thought on Coulibaly rest of the season? What about you, Rick? Coulibaly?
He's a wizard, so I'm kind of in fade zone on them. But I looked at Coulibaly's line. He's at like 15-6-3. A little light on the defense for me. I don't know, Brew. Like, I'm encouraged that this is a good start. Okay, it's a good start. I'm just not. I need to see more. I'm just not a big Coulibaly guy. Like, you think, you know, athletic wing coming out of France. Like, to me, I think defense. I think like Nicholas Batum, Matisse Thybulle, right? Like, ooh, we're going to be getting some defensive goodies here. We're just not, and so that's disappointing with Coulibaly.
Yeah, that part is disappointing. I like, though, I mean, it's a classic. He's focusing on offense now. The minute he got the ball in the first frame that I watched him in, he just took it to the rack and he was like, I belong. And I'm like, good. You know, that the defensive numbers will be kind of whatever they are, probably. I don't think there's going to be a big decline there. I'll give him top 100 the rest of the way. Dennis says, is Ant-Man for Hallie too much to give up?
Okay, so you're giving up Ant-Man to get into Halliburton?
That's the question on the board.
Yeah. And Brew, this is, I'm going to make an adjustment one weekend on this. Last week, I would have said I'd rather, you know, going into draft season and ending draft season, I would have drafted Halliburton in that, you know, so, right, you had the top four, and then you had, like, Giannis and Anthony Davis, and then you had, like, Trae Young, Anthony Edwards, Halliburton, Jason Tatum, right, as we kind of go through the first round in those stages like that. So last week, I would have drafted Halliburton over Anthony Edwards. And I'd be regretting that right now. I'd rather get into some Anthony Edwards than some Tyrese Halliburton. And Brew, here's why. It's not just the slow start for Tyrese Halliburton. It's the absence of Cat in Minnesota. And the fact that, like, Randall has these quiet periods. Dante's a bench player. So Anthony Edwards might get up to 30 points a game this year. Okay, there's really not a whole lot keeping him from spiking up to 30 a game. He's got to be efficient to get that high. That could keep him from it. But it's not like he's got that other star. Oh, it's Cat. We've got to share and defer. No, Ant-Man is clearly now the number one. And so I'd rather plug into that than Halliburton right now.
You know, our older listeners might remember a game called Tecmo Bowl and a guy named Bo Jackson. That's the way Anthony Edwards moves on the court. And I was watching that very first game. I was like, oh, boy, he could at any point in time explode for some crazy play. And I was just had to relook at my ranks, because with 8 Cat, I kind of remember them by memory. And I had Anthony Edwards over Tyrese Halliburton in 8 Cat. So I had Anthony Edwards, as I keep butchering his name. I had him at 5 in my rankings this year. So obviously very high on Anthony Edwards. I had Tyrese at 6. So that was before the season. And then those ranks flip-flopped in 9 Cat. And I would absolutely put Anthony Edwards ahead of Tyrese Halliburton now if it was just the little glimpse. It's that question that we were talking about earlier with Nembhard. Is Nembhard going to take a tiny bit from Hallie? And that's going to be like the little difference there. So yeah, that's your answer right there. Real quick, if you guys are watching on Twitter and YouTube, if you want to get questions answered in future shows, you want to go over to the Discord, and that's located in the show notes. Corey asks, is this version of Jeremy Grant real? What do you think, Rick?
Pardon me, but hell no, it's not real. No.
Well, I mean, it's four blocks. Was it four blocks? I think it was four blocks and four steals.
No, it's four threes. Okay. That's not, I mean, he's a 2-3 guy. And he's around an 18, 19, 20 a point per game guy. He's at 26 points per game. That's not real. He's at 4 rebounds and 2 assists. Okay, cool. He's at 2.7 blocks. That number's not real. I mean, if he averages one block, I'm looking at his career, log right here. If he's at one block per game, that's a good block season from him. At this point, he got paid and he kind of got good with the blocks, right? So he's blocking this year, 2.7. That number's not real. He's at 1.3 steals. He has never even come close to averaging that number. That number's not real. What can I say? In 1,000 different ways, enjoy this hot start from Jeremy Grant, but no, these numbers are not real.
Yeah, I think you have a long-term exercise in putting him out on the market and seeing what you can get, and especially after these big games. Really push the gas pedal hard after these big games, and you kind of got to do that for quite a bit. It's going to be quite the practice trading that guy, because I think everybody in the league is aware of it. It's been going on for 4 years now that at the end of the season, he's probably not going to be there. Mike asks, would you trade Hero and Mobley for Ant in 10-team points leagues? So whatever the most generally accepted points league settings are, kind of think of those, Rick. And would you split your asset in Ant Edwards to get Mobley and some change, basically? With Hero being pretty good in points leagues.
Ooh.
Maybe Mobley taking a dip in points leagues, depending
this
on the
one,
setting.
This one's tough. This one's tough, man.
It's a 10-team league as well, so it's shallow.
So 10-team leagues are kind of like all-star teams, which tells me that I want the best player in the deal, which is Ant-Man. I would probably trade Hero and Mobley for Ant-Man in a 10-team league.
To get Ant-Man.
Mobley's cooking at first-round value right now. He's at 10th. But is he going to stay there all year? If he, the 18, 9, and 3, I think it's all doable. But the 2.3 blocks, the two steals per game to me is not sustainable. One 3-ball per game for Mobley, which is that even sustainable? So I would do that trade. I would get into Ant-Man.
Admiral Nita asks, drop Bilal or Saar to bring Embiid off of IR this week.
I would say Koulibaly. I would say his stat line is not like so rare. And I mean, Malik Monk is on some waiver wires with a very similar like type of stat line to Koulibaly. I would drop him.
Yeah. I think with Saar, we just don't know what we don't know there. And it's actually been a pretty good start for him. So I'd hate to drop Saar and then find him on somebody else's team in a couple of weeks. If he's going to get 2 blocks a game and some other goodies, that's going to be something you're going to want to have on your squad. See that out a little bit longer on Saar. Matt Carmody says, thoughts on the D Wade statue? I think it looks awful. You saw the D Wade statue.
All right. Okay.
So this is where we found out that Rick was living underneath a rock over the last 24 hours.
Hold on. So I've been in fantasy mode here.
The face
is terrible. The sculptor here did not even come close to getting Dwayne Wade's face. Okay, that is a random human being's face on Dwayne Wade's body. But I do like the, it's my house. Like he's up on the scorer's table and he's pointing down. Like I think that is the iconic Dwayne Wade thing that you create a statue for. But I just see a random man barking at thin air here. I don't see Dwayne Wade. So I would give the statue a thumbs down.
Honestly, the first thought I had was that's Fraser Crane from Cheers. I thought that can't be right. But
that's a good call by you.
Lawrence Fishburne's definitely good. What's the other
Ooh,
one?
Oh yeah, yeah, right there? I like that. I like that.
Yeah, it's
Fishburne. That's hilarious.
It's just like why do we have this gap in our game? Like all the statues are terrible, all of them.
So are people busting on the statue for how bad the face is? Is that the thing that people are mocking the most? I'm sorry, I'm kind of out on this viral moment here.
is that what people? I think the best one that I saw floating around was the remember the iconic. It was Wade threw to LeBron. I forget the fast break in Miami. And okay, so yeah, Wade was like running past the hoop with his arms out. They put the head on the statue on that. That's been my favorite GIF or image of that. But why the statue? Like, why can't we do this as a society? I mean, the Allen Iverson one was like 4 feet tall. Hold on a second. They were like,
I see a picture.
Here's a gift for you. You put a quarter into the machine and it gives you a gumball and a statue of Allen Iverson as well.
Okay, this is good.
I don't know.
today in sports has that picture of LeBron and Bosch with Wade in the front, like when the Heatles came together.
I'm telling you, man. Like, what's the problem? Did the AI generate this? Like, I don't get it. Why are we so bad? Is like, there are no statue makers left in the world? Can we not?
No. I'm buddies with the guy. Brian Hanlon is his name. Do you like the Dominique Wilkins statue out front of State Farm Arena?
I haven't seen it, but okay. I'm going to Google it while you're talking.
It's phenomenal. It's flawless, okay? And it's gigantic, all right? My point is this. Brian Hanlon's done a ton of these. And we were me and Antonio Daniels were talking about this, and I texted Brian Hanlon to try to get him on Give and Go to talk about the Wade statue. And I said, did you do the Wade statue? He said, no, I wish. And now the Miami Heat wish that they had gotten Brian Hanlon to do the Dwayne Wade statue because it would actually freaking look like Dwayne Wade.
Wow. This is like really good intel, man. They definitely should have done that. I think like a statue is supposed to be kind of big and like this is
how,
like,
how good is the Dominique statue? How good is the Dominique statue?
I am almost. Oh, yeah. Look at that. So, but what was funny is I don't know if this is real. I don't know if anything's real these days, but it felt like they had the statue makers doing a presser after the release of this statue. And it was almost as if somebody had the joke out there. It was a great joke. I forget who it is, but they were like, at least they came out and faced the press after they lost.
Awesome. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, hey, every now and then the internet can be entertaining. With that, folks, I think that's going to bring us to the end here. You guys, get on Discord. You can get your questions answered. All the premium members get their questions answered first, of course. But we have that. We have all sorts of fun stuff. We're going to be building out Discord, as you can see. Look at that. Look at that. I can't get Fraser Crane out of my head.
Look at that picture.
It's great.
It doesn't even look close to Dwayne Wade's got to be pissed off. His wife, Gabrielle Union's got to be sideways about this, dude. She's got to be like, there's no freaking way.
He's probably been very gracious about this. And there's all been like close-ups on his face when it was released. And like everybody's picking that apart. But a part of you guys is kind of say like, hey, you know, if I get a messed up statue made out of me, that's kind of unique in its own way, you know, and she can bust on him, you know, for the rest of his life. Look at your statue. This is what you look like. Anyway.
Dude, this is going to become as big as the Jordan crying meme? Yeah. To me, this has a chance to become as big as the Jordan crying meme. Like, look at that face on Dwayne Wade. Dude, they're going to put this on Mount Rushmore with presidents. Dude, this is hilarious. This is a moment right here.
Mount Rushmore kills me. Dwayne Wade said, and I don't know, I'm presuming this is real, that although he had thoughts about wanting to change some things in his career, the statue unveiling made him forget all of them. Classy. Oh, and the one of him at the dunk contest looking all futuristic with the microphone, that's already been done as well.
When he screwed over Aaron Gordon, stuffing the ballot box for Derrick Jones Jr. so his Miami Heat teammate could win the award. What a bunch of garbage
that was a thing, and that probably will haunt him for the rest of his career. All right, we covered it all in today's show. Hopefully you guys are set for your lineups. Never forget that face.
Just right there.
As well as the one behind the phone, Rick Kamla and Aaron Brewski, Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online. You guys, thank you very much, Andre. Thank you very much, listeners, for a great show and all of your questions. And we will see you next time. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.